chapter 6. And when I ask you to turn to Ephesians 6, you'll know that we're real close to being done. That always encourages some people sometimes. We all need encouragement, amen? Judges 15, we're back in the life of Samson tonight. And since it's been a couple of weeks since I preached, I want to read the whole chapter and just kind of tell the story of what has taken place and how not to live, how not to be a Christian, if I could put it that way. And then when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be reminded of this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't see that, but it's there. In fact, it's right above us. It's just hanging in the air. I want you to understand, I don't want to get weird in anything. But when you have a church service or you have life and the Lord is in with us, He's with us, the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, there are the forces of evil that if they're allowed to, they'll do what they can. So they come to church, they sit in the service, they're hanging out here in the corners. And when somebody passes away, I always say, wonder which corner the angels are in. Because the Bible teaches us that the angels come to carry us away, to be with Him. And the devil is got his emissaries and demons, as we would call them, and so they're everywhere. Now, when you look at the life of Samson, there's a lot of war that goes on, and there's some things that is very evident that you should not do. I mean, you should not be selfish. You should not be prideful. You should not be bitter. You should not take vengeance. And if you learn, if anything you learn from Judges 15, it's this. Samson is supposed to be a leader of Israel. He is supposed to lead the children of Israel out of this affliction of the Philistines. But literally, he turns it into personal conflict. And if you'll notice with me, nowhere through the judges, when it comes to Samson, like other judges who became leaders, even though maybe they didn't think they were a leader, maybe they didn't think that they were a mighty man of valor, but they rose to the occasion that they would lead people into a cause greater than themselves. That's what leaders are supposed to do. I heard an interview of a man this week in a baseball documentary. Thank you. And he said, and this guy said, he hated Vince Lombardi. And the reason that he did not like Vince Lombardi, and if you know, Vince Lombardi was the famous coach of the Green Bay Packers and won the first two Super Bowls way back in the 60s. Was a very much of a authoritarian and believed in discipline, and you ran his plays the way he said. And so this baseball player said he didn't like Vince Lombardi because he was from Kansas City, and you could understand that if you know anything about the first couple of World Series. But he said he met Vince Lombardi for the first time and they had a conversation. Then he met him for the second time. And by the second time of his meeting with Vince Lombardi, this conversation that began to take place between the two, he said within 10 minutes, he said, I'm telling you, I didn't like Vince Lombardi, but I'd have ran through a wall for Vince Lombardi because Vince Lombardi was a leader of men. Samson was supposed to be a leader. No. Self-vengeance. So let me read this, and I'm going to kind of tell the story, but I want to preach it like this from an application perspective. Life is a war, and spiritual conflict is real. And sometimes our greatest battle is against the forces from without, but sometimes our greatest battle is the forces from within. And that's Samson. Samson was a he-man with a she problem. And I want you to see that in chapter 15, but I want to read this whole chapter. And there's some things that just come out at me. Like, here is the nation of Israel that Samson's supposed to be leading as an army, and the army is leading Samson to the Philistines. It's just odd. So it came to pass within a while after than the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. Now, can I say this? Even though Samson had married the woman of Timnath, the Philistine, even though he had married her and the ceremony had taken place and all of the rites and rituals had come, the marriage had never been consummated. They never had come together as man and wife. And then the riddle takes place and the deception of the wife takes place, the deception, and then the Philistines come against Samson. And so after he settles down, he comes back and he wants his wife. Now we're going to find out that his wife has been given to the best man at the wedding. Now I'm telling you, this Philistine culture is kind of whacked out. Everybody with me? But this is the world. And we look at things like this and go, that's weird. Well, some of the things the world does today to me is very weird. But yet they think it's normal. But based upon the Scripture, that ain't normal. It ain't normal to have... Anyhow, so let me just read this story. And so he comes back, he brings a gift, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou utterly hated her. After all, she deceived you. Come on now. He said, I thought you hated her. So I gave her to thy companion. And then he goes, but don't worry, she's got a sister. How about let's work out another deal? I'm telling you, this is weird. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. Now let me just say this. If you think about the way God's people should act, the truth is that Samson should have walked away. He should have went back to his parents. He should have apologized for his behavior. He should have said, you know, Mom and Dad, I was wrong. I should not have done this. I shouldn't have gone to Timnath in the land of the Philistines to find a wife. Now this was in the Jewish culture. Mom and Dad, can you help me? Because I'm a bonehead when it comes to this situation. No, instead he takes vengeance. There is no place for God's people to take revenge. Nowhere. You're not going to find anywhere in the life of a child of God that we are to take vengeance. In fact, can I have you to go to Romans chapter 12 right now? And so maybe I'll just preach this totally different instead of sticking to my notes, which I had 20 pages of notes this morning and never even got to them. So, Romans chapter 4. I'm sorry, Judges chapter 12. Notice verse number 17. Recompense. Now, this is Christian. This is New Testament. This is Bible. This is church. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Because we're going to see that Samson does the complete opposite of this. Did I say something wrong or did I give the... Romans chapter 12, okay, verse 17. I know when you're laughing at me, but I'll sleep okay tonight. Don't worry. Verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. You think Samson, even in the Philistine culture, maybe has been done wrong? I believe so. But he says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, Paul says to the Romans, avenge not yourselves. Now think about the Romans. They had gone through many trials and tribulations for their faith in God. If it be possible, live peaceably. Don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Samson, walk away. Go back to your parents. Go back to your people. Become a leader. Raise an army. fight the Philistines on a national level, not on a personal level. Everybody with me? But we find in verse 4, Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came up, now look at this, and burnt her and her father with fire. How do you think vengeance turns out? Walk away, Samson. Well, let me tell you something, Christian. Somebody does you wrong, the best thing that we can do is get over ourselves as quickly as possible. There will be offenses. Offenses will come. People will use snide remarks. People will say things that they have no business saying. Hurt people usually hurt other people. In fact, if somebody does this, it's probably because they've got the problem. But don't try to take vengeance. Don't try to say, "I'm going to fight fire with fire. I've been done wrong, so I want everybody else to be wrong." That's not the way God's people should handle it. No, don't do it. Pray for them. Pray for them. Help them. "Well, it's against my nature." Oh, yes. I didn't say that it was, it wasn't against your nature, but our nature is evil. And God said, "Let me take care of your problems." I know that I have said this, but I remember back in the 90s, we were going through a situation at the church there in Knob, and some things were being said that were totally not true. People were bitter and mad and doing things they should not have been doing. I mean, my wife is sitting right there right now, knows exactly what I'm talking about. And she came to me, usually it's her calming me down. That's the natural course of our marriage. But in this case, it was me calming her down, because she said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do about this? Are you going to defend yourself?" And I said, no, Robin, I'm not. That's not the biblical answer. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You know what God says to us? "How about you letting me take care of these kind of things?" People who lie against you or say things, hey, listen, be careful what you believe and what you hear. Because there's two sides to every story. And so these things were going on, and so I said, what we're going to do is I'm going to keep serving the Lord, going to keep doing what we're supposed to do, going to keep preaching, going to keep going to church, going to keep raising our family. We're not going to retaliate. We're not going to defend ourselves. We're not going to... And here's what people do today. People get on Facebook. Stop it. Stop it. I tell you, I am convinced that Facebook has done probably more damage to the cause of Christ than good. Because people don't look somebody in the face, they look a computer in the face. And they start typing and they start writing, and their feelings are getting out there, and their hurts and their bitterness, and it gets out there. Now what good is that? "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on my Facebook and I'm going to rip the hide off. Really? You think that's going to do any good? Think that'll make you feel better? Come on now. We're God's people. Samson, walk away. Go back to your parents, Samson. Raise an army. Serve God. You know what Samson did? Samson got on Facebook. No, and his vengeance was unbelievable. And you know what happened in the end? The woman that he did marry died. The father who did give away his bride died, burned with fire. But then Samson said in verse number 7, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. No, once you start vengeance, it's hard to stop. Because vengeance begets vengeance. And violence begets violence. And hate begets hate. And it just goes over and over and over. And again, and so he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? Now, you got to understand. So this battle, this personal battle that's between Samson and the Philistines, it's a personal battle. It's a personal thing that Samson brought upon himself. It was Samson taking vengeance. Well, now the nation of the Philistines in an army or in a national way, they come up against Israel or come up against Judah, and they're fixing to make war on the nation of Israel or the nation of Judah based on what Samson has done in his revenge and how they have now, because after all, Samson ruined their crops for the year. Their corn, their olives have been destroyed. Now, and so now they take, because Samson takes vengeance, the Philistines take vengeance, and now they come against the nation of Israel, and the Philistines, they spread their tent, if you would, they spread themselves in Lehi. They come against the nation of Israel, and they said this, why are you come against us? And they said, to bind Samson, or we come up, to do him as he hath done to us. We want Samson. Basically, the idea here is if we don't get Samson, we're going to take it out on you. So 3,000 men of Judah, verse 11. Think about this. 3,000 men. If Samson had rallied those 3,000 men to go against the Philistines, it would be better. Instead, Israel is looking at Samson as a pest instead of a leader. They didn't realize who Samson really was. And so 3,000 men, verse 11, see why I had you sit down? Then 3,000 men of Judah went up to the top of the rock, Etam, and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? Now here's where I'd want to preach. Well, that's not what God intended. God did not intend for the devil to have dominion over you. Now we're getting to the spiritual conflict that I'm making my application if I ever get to Ephesians 6. You see that? We become sometimes comfortable with sin having reign over us. And we use little words like, well, I just can't help it. Or that's just the way I am. Or that's just the way things are. Or that's just our culture. No. No, we live. We may live in this culture, but the culture don't have to live within us. Everybody with me? Somebody better say amen. And so they said, we're going to bind 3,000 men. Says, Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? Mercy. And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Vengeance. Everybody with me? And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, and we're going to deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said, well, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee unto their hand. Now, this is how I know they have no idea that they don't understand who Samson really is. Because we know, in retrospect, that Samson can just bust these ropes or binds or whatever it is just like that, because he does it in the future and he'll do it here in this story. They said, we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when they came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And here's what I like, because here's what I want you to understand tonight, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord can help us in our battles. and the Spirit of the Lord and the sword of the Lord and the Word of God. I'm telling you, we are in a spiritual battle. There is darkness around us. Evil prevails. But it does not have to be in our personal life, and it does not have to be in the life of our church. So, he comes to Lehi, they shout against him. But then the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand, and he took it and slew 1,000 men thereof. Now, someone might say, well, why didn't he take an old? No, he took a new one, one that a donkey had died recently, and it was just the flesh had come off, and it's brand new and it's hard, because if he had got an old one, he'd have cracked that one in the first time. But he takes this jawbone of this dead carcass of an animal, and he slew 1,000 men therein. Son. So sometimes when we see some of these stories, you know, like some of these action-packed motion pictures or whatever, and there's a guy standing out there, and you say it, and I do it, that ain't possible. How could they do that? Well, when the power of God comes on a man like Samson, and the conflict is raging, and so listen, my friend, it's not just the Philistines that need to be conquered; it's the inner man that needs to be conquered. There's where our battle is. And Samson, with the jawbone of an ass, in verse 16, heaps upon heaps, and the jawbone of ass, have I slain 1,000 men. Then it comes to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance in the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En Harkorah, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistine 20 years. Now, I want to say this, and I want to, after reading that, of course, I've said most everything probably is in my notes, but I'll say it again. If we were to pick out a New Testament verse, we would have to go to Ephesians 6. Now, I'm not telling you to go there yet, because you'll think I'm almost done. But we do wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, we know that Samson did. But we're making a spiritual application, I think you'll understand, that our war is against principalities, against power. Our battle is not with the politicians of the day. Our battle is not with the liberals of the day. Our battle is not against the abortionists and the sodomites and the crowd that has their way and the evil thinking and the reprobate minds that permeate our society. Our battle is not with the pornography crowd. Our battle is not against the people that imagine vain and wicked things. Our battle is not. Listen, our battle is this: that it's the principalities and the darkness of this world. And sometimes we see things go on in a world order, you know, a worldwide thing. And we need to understand. And we want to rise up. I mean, in our soul, we want to rise up and say, somebody needs to do something about this wickedness. You understand the devil is behind this? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And you know what? It's like I tell my children, have tried to tell my children, and I'll try to tell this to my grandchildren. Quit worrying about everybody else. Won't you worry about yourself? Why don't you do what you're supposed to do, Samson? Don't lay around in the bed thinking about how I'm going to take vengeance, or I cannot believe somebody said something to me that way, or I cannot believe, and there's hurts and there's this, and people fester it up, and years go by, and there'll be people that'll sit on two sides of the church and won't talk to people. I'm telling you, that's foolish. That's very foolish. It's very immature. It's not spiritual. It's not biblical.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget.
Oh, wow, that's really spiritual. The enemy of Israel was the Philistines, and Samson was called to be the leader to defeat the enemy, but instead he fighting his own personal battles. We need to understand evil is real because the devil is real. And let me just say something about leadership, if I could. A leader's not a leader unless he has people to follow him. And I gave the story of Vince Lombardi, and I've heard other men, you know, of history, maybe like Patton. I've never heard anybody that liked him, but they sure followed him. And Vince Lombardi and other men of leaders. And now we have this new type of leadership. Well, you got to be a coach or you got to be a buddy. I don't believe that. Your children are not your buddy. Your children are your children. Now, when they get older and maybe married, the relationship might become more toward that. But your children, my friend, they don't need a buddy. They need a parent. They need a mom and they need a dad. And they need a dad that'll be a leader, but he'll be a loving leader. And he'll be a servant, but he'll be a servant leader. But he will lead his home. And we need mothers to be mothers, not to throw their kids into daycare or throw their kids in this. I'm telling you, we put our kids away and then we get them from 6 to 9 and then we put them to bed and then they sleep for 10 hours and then we take them somewhere and we have them 3 hours a day. I'm telling you, you're not going to have an influence like you need to if you have your children 3 hours a day. I'm just telling you, we live in a culture that is totally outside of the biblical realm in many, many ways. And by the way, if you work outside the home and all that, you still have a responsibility to your husband and you have a responsibility to your children. And you need to understand that's your first responsibility. And I realize things have to happen. But in leadership, a leader must inspire people to a cause greater than himself. And because Samson's actions, the people looked at Samson in the story of chapter 15. They looked at Samson more as a troublemaker than they did a leader. And that's not good leadership. What have we learned about Samson? Here's what we've learned. He's self-centered, independent, rebellious, proud, undisciplined, boastful. He lacked wisdom and discernment. He denied the counsel of his parents. He was deceived by the woman that he thought that he wanted to marry for life. She was destroyed. Her family was destroyed. But the truth is, if he hadn't gone to the wrong place to find a wife, none of this would ever happen. Sometimes people think, well, it'll work out for me. Really? So you're the exception to the rule. It's not going to happen. He takes vengeance, and instead of leading Israel, he fights a personal battle. He finds out that one act of violence leads to more violence. His personal problem become a national problem. These are all found in the text. I wrote these things down. Because of his vengeance, the Philistines come against all of Israel. And instead of Israel gathering an army against the Philistines, they gather an army against Samson. You know why? Because Samson was out for revenge. Revenge is not the way to deal with conflict. In the 1880s, the Hatfields and the McCoys started a family battle that lasted for 100 years. Over 100 people were killed. Finally, in the, I don't know, it was the 1930s or whatever, the two leaders of the clan, I don't know what year it was, I'm just saying it was like 50 or 60 years later, the head of the two clans finally came together and decided they were not going to have this conflict anymore because vengeance does not settle anything. You know what the problem is? Over 100 people, Hatfields and McCoys, in those families had lost their lives. And you know what they went back to the source and guess what they found out when they all was said and done? They went and found out. You know what started it? Pigs. A fight over pigs. That's my pig. No, that's my pig. Pigs. Yeah, some is right. Absolutely. The Philistines were the enemy. But personal revenge will not win a national war. God was not in the revenge, but let me tell you what He was. God was in the conflict against evil. And Satan hates God's people then, and Satan hates God's people now. And let me just give you some, let you understand this. If you're saved and doing the will of God, bringing folks to church, living a life that's pleasing to God, the devil won't like it. Do you know why the devil did not stir up against the Israelites? Because the Israelites are on the same side as the Philistines. And the Israelites are saying, "Hey, Samson, what are you doing? Do you not know they rule over us?" And somebody needed to pull out a Bible and say, "Did you not know that God gave us this land? And just because these Philistines who've got iron, by the way they did, and they've come over from Greece and they have these weapons..." Listen, God can overcome any weapon of warfare. God can chase the people out of a city with bees. Because He did. You know, they'd come up... You know, the stories are told there in the book of Joshua and Judges, how they'd come up against the city and all of a sudden they're out running away. And it's because all the bees got on top of the... and the hornets got on top of the... and listen, if a hornet was chasing me, I'd be running as hard as I could get out of the way. The Philistines ignored Israel because Israel was not a threat. You know why the devil sometimes doesn't bother us? Because we're not a threat to him. If the devil thinks Berean Baptist Church is a threat to his dominion, he's going to stir stuff up. He's going to try to do anything he can. Now, we know that sometimes God allows things. Ask Job. But here's what people need to understand about Job. Read the end of the chapter. Robin was reading the book of Job and she said, Oh, they're coming to the part where God..." She said, "I like it when God speaks." I said, "Yeah, it ain't going to be good for them boys when He starts talking." So just keep reading. And it wasn't good for them. And you know what? God is our vengeance. God will take care of our problems. And the enemy was total... But the enemy wants total control of Israel, just as the devil wants total control of us. And evil desires to permeate every area of our life. And when he does, conflict is real. Needless to say, people have said about me, "Oh, he likes conflict." I don't like conflict. I don't know anybody that does like conflict. But we can't turn away from it. And conflict is real. And the devil, and here, listen, doubt, the devil will use doubt in your life. The devil will use fear in your life. The devil will use unbelief. Those are some of his wiles or ways or techniques that he uses to come against these. And all of these are found in the story. And sometimes the conflict is from the outside forces like the Philistines, but sometimes the conflict, in the case of Samson, is in the self. And Israel should have recognized Samson for who he really was, but they saw him as a problem and not the solution. But in verses 12 through 16, we read that God gave the victory. And the Bible says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Samson broke the bonds. And by the way, the only way that we'll ever break the bonds of sin is by the help of God. God's grace. God's help. But God says, "I will not put more on you than you can handle. I will give you a way out if you'll come to me, if you'll ask for my help." And the power of the Spirit of God moved upon Samson, and the bonds that were around him were broken. And the men, here's one of those things that make me think about. What do you think that the men of Judah thought as they watched their prisoner, who they had brought bound to the Philistines, their brother, kill the Philistines single-handedly? Because that's what happens when I flex. Like that. It just pops. I have to wear new T-shirts there. No. Robin, you have to buy me some new T-shirts, babe. The keg fell. No, man. He broke those things. The idea... If Samson, here's what I want you to get a hold of. If Samson had been the leader that he was supposed to be, they should have felt the urge for themselves to pick up the jawbone of a donkey and head headlong for the Philistines. Wah! But you know why it didn't happen? Because sometimes people get comfortable where they're at. And they're okay with the Philistines being their master. And we see that God, after the victory, though, he needed water. And we would say that sometimes in Scripture, testing follows a triumph. And no sooner had the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they became thirsty and hungry and began to question Moses. Elijah's victory on Mount Carmel was followed by the humiliating flight to Mount Horeb as Jezebel said, "I'll kill you." But I'm telling you right now, we need to understand triumphs sometimes are balanced with trials. And if not, we'll become to think that we did it. I believe we need a little bit more humility in our Christian life. And when God gives the victory, we can't say we did it. God did it. And Samson needed to ask God for water and for grace. He needed God's guidance. And I want you to understand, when we're weak, you know what? That's when we're strong. Men especially like to be in control. That's why they drive the car. We drove 14 and a half hours last Friday, and it was only 4 or 5 hours. I'd been on the road. We left at 4:30 in the morning, been on the road about 4 or 5 hours, and I was toast. I said, I got to close my eyes. Can you drive for 1 hour? Pull over here, I'll get gas. And then I have to make sure that my wife's headed back in the right direction, or the 4 hours that I just drove would be erased. And I'd wake up and we're like, now we're 10 hours behind. So, and you, don't look at me like that, because you are, which way do I start? Get ready there. And man, as soon as we got on the interstate, I closed my eyes, because I cannot be out of control. And if we die, then at least I'll be asleep when we die. Or if you wake up in the hospital, at least, you know, you're asleep. And then I was out of it. And by the way, I can go to sleep in like 12 seconds. 8 seconds. Wake up. Look at my clock. Hours passed. Pull over. Why? Because I got to be in control. I can't sit over there and watch her drive. That's not right. Probably wasn't right that I went to sleep for an hour. I should have been a man of God and just sucked it up, but I didn't. Sometimes life happens and you have no control. Everybody with me? But God's got it in control. When we're dependent on the Lord, that's when we're the safest. And Samson prayed. And again, these are all in the text. But Samson prayed, and he tells us that he considered himself God's servant, and he didn't want to end his life by falling into the godless, uncircumcised Philistines. But unfortunately, when it's all said and done, at the end of Samson's life, that's what happens. But here God was merciful, performed a miracle, opened up a spring of water in the hollow of the jawbone. And the application now comes like this. Ephesians chapter 6. Go there real quick. Folks, we're in a battle. The battle is real. Don't act like you don't deal with it, because we all do. But I want you to see in Ephesians 6 where he says in verse 10, Paul says this to the church of Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now that is spiritually. We know that with Samson, it was physical. God's people need to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why do we need the whole armor of God? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, we've already given that. So I'm not going to reread it. But verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Now let me ask you this. Seriously, do you think we live in an evil day? Come on, folks. "And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." You know what we need? Saturation of the Word of God. So let me just do this real quick. When we put on the whole armor of God and we have the girdle of truth, our loins are guarded from the deception of the devil, because the devil is a liar. He's a liar. Evolution, it's a lie of the devil. Climate change, well, it used to be global warming. And then when we kept having all these cold winters, we changed it to climate change. And you know the world's going to come to an end in 12 years if we don't kill all the cows. Folks, that's deception. That's a lie. Does everybody remember the new millennial? Y2K, or what was it? Was that what it was? I was going to say KY3, but it was not KY3. It was Y2K. At midnight, all the computers are going to shut down. And you know what I did? I stayed up with my laptop. And I watched my computer. And at 12:05, I was still doing email. Because they didn't have text back then. Everybody with me? The righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness protects us from the sin, because the devil is lawless. And he will cause us to think that good is evil and evil is good. Put on the peace shoes, preparation of the gospel of peace, to keep us from stumbling, because the devil will set snares and try to make us fall. These are just kind of some snapshots of thoughts. Helmet of salvation keeps us from the skepticism, because the devil tries to bring doubt into the mind. Hey, listen, if you're saved, you're saved. God can't, the devil can't take that away. And your mind needs to have a helmet on. You know, you go back and look at football when it started, and they had those leather helmets on, man. Boom, boom. And now, you can't. Football players can't hit each other head on head now, because, man, their head will snap like because people are so big and so fast and so forceful. And so now they taught everybody you got to hit them down low. You can't hit them up. You can't hit them face to face, because there's so many concussions. And listen, you know what? The head needs to be protected. The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to secure against the temptation and the things that come against us. And by the way, can I tell you? Between now and Wednesday, there'll be 1,000 things that come at you. You come back to church, man, need to see God's people, meet with God's people. I'll tell you this, I'm for live stream, but if I find out people are staying home watching live stream and not being in church, I'm cutting it off. And if I find that people are just being lazy and not being in the house of God, I'll cut it off. And you'll have to call into the church to get a password and prove and send a doctor's notice to prove that you're sick before I give you the code to watch live stream. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. You need to be here with God's people around the Word of God. Because it's easier to come to the altar when you're at church than when you're on live stream. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father, Lord, we see so many applications in the life of Samson. And Lord, one of them is we are not to take vengeance, but that belongs to You. And the vengeance that Samson brought in a personal way caused a national conflict. But I want to thank You, Lord, that by the time we get to the end of this chapter, the Spirit of God moves upon Samson and a great victory takes place. And Lord, the application of Ephesians 6 is that we are in a battle that's spiritual. And the spiritual battle is even greater than the physical battle. And we deal with it on a daily basis. I pray, God, we'd take the armor of God, we'd put it on, that we might have the defense against the wiles of the devil. And the offense of the Word of God, that we might use that, the sword of the Spirit, against the evil that has come against us. God, help us as God's people to continue to go forward in the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 424, have faith in God. If you need to come and tell you need to be down here at the altar, because the conflict is real. God, I need Your help. I need Your grace. I need Your help in the spiritual conflict, the battle that rages day by day. If you'll come to Him, turn it over to Him. You need to be saved tonight. This will be a good night to get saved. Turn things over to God. Admit there's a conflict. The battle's real.